dear friends. This is Pastor Evangelist Robert Venable inviting you to stay tuned for this edition of Let's Talk About Jesus right here on WMAF. So glad to be back with you this week. If you're a return listener, we welcome you today. If you're a brand new listener, don't turn that dial just yet. If you have been listening to good gospel music right here, classic gospel, we want you to hear some classic preaching. Classic in this sense that it is the same Word of God that was delivered so many, many years ago to the Church of Jesus Christ, and we're continuing to deliver this same message about this same Jesus. Hallelujah. And we pray today that God will bring the same results in your life and my life that it did in the lives of those early apostles and disciples. And that is that God's victory shall be ours. Praise the Lord. We want you to know the victory that has been provided through the blood of Jesus, the presence and power of the Holy Spirit today. And God's Word declares unto us that that victory is available through Christ, but it is made known to us by the Word of God. So we're anxious to get into God's Word today. We have a great message. The message is really a question. Is your God big enough? Big enough for you to trust in, big enough for you to lean on, big enough for you to believe when you pray. And we're just going to be talking about some things that will challenge our faith today to rise up in the Lord like never before. So I'm kind of chomping at the bits today. I'm anxious to get into this message. But before we do, we would like to thank all of you that are listening by computer as well, and those of you that have downloaded this teaching from our website. Our website contains, I am told, around 1,300 sermons taped live at the Holy Church of God right here in Tampa, where I have been the senior minister for 38 years. There's a lot of preaching and teaching down through that span those many of those years available to you. And there's access to all kinds of Bible helps there and good music that will lift up your soul. And we just invite you to come. There is absolutely no charge. You won't get any kind of response from us unless you want to leave an email. And we thank our dear brother down in Africa for emailing us recently. We're so glad when people come and let us know that they have been blessed by coming. And we just pray for people that are listening by computer all over the United States, all over the world. We welcome you to this study in the Word of God. And by the way, if you are not a Christian today, this involves you. God wants you to know what He is capable of and willing to do in your life if you dare to invite Him into your heart. Hallelujah. If you will take the dare, praise God. In fact, I believe the Holy Ghost is going to double dog dare you before this broadcast is over. I believe He's going to move upon you because Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. That was me. That was every person who is a Christian today. And that is you, my friend. And I pray today that you'll stay tuned if you don't know Jesus today. Let the Word of God speak to you. You say, well, I can't change myself. Doesn't matter. God don't expect you to change yourself. He expects you to change your mind. It's called repentance. It's called turning around 180 degrees, choosing to follow the light instead of the darkness, Christ instead of Satan, to give your heart to Jesus Christ today. Amen. And you can do that before this broadcast is over. And believe me, friend, God will do the rest. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, let's get into our scripture today. If you'd like to come to our website, just type in THCOG, that stands for The Holy Church of God, Tampa, Florida, take you to our homepage. Amen. Now, let's get into this message. Is your God big enough? That's the question that we're asking today. Is my God? I'm challenging myself in this teaching today. We We talk about God in grandiose terms, and we should. God is great, the scripture said, and he is greatly to be praised. The question that we pose today, and we're going to try to answer biblically, is your God big enough? And we're going to take our text in the Old Covenant from Jeremiah chapter 32 and verse 27. God speaking to the nation of Israel, "Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me?" What a question. What a question that we need to address today as Christians. And if you don't know the Lord, you need to question it too, because before I came to Jesus, I didn't think I could live the Christian life. And in fact, I couldn't. God is not asking me to just do everything that he wants of me to become a Christian. He asked me to receive him as my Savior. And when I do, when I receive Christ as my Savior, then the Holy Spirit can come within me. And he can work a work within me and within you that we can't do in ourselves. The Old Testament question is asked, can a leopard change their spots? No, that's their nature. We have a sin nature through Adam's fall that is still being passed down in every successive generation. But God can change what we cannot change, and what science may say cannot even be changed, or logic or reason. But God is not bound to any of the laws of logic, reason, or science. God is almighty, and that's the statement that he is making in Jeremiah 32:27, and that is our challenge to our faith today. Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? One of the great hindrances to our faith is the same thing that hinders God from working his wonders in our behalf. And it's simply our lack of faith in a God this big, this powerful, this mighty. The idea that God can only work within the realm of human or scientific possibility is so debilitating to our faith. And it disarms us of that we need so desperately when we pray, and that's answers, and when we believe. You know, the Bible said back in the book of Psalms that the reason that first generation that came up out of Egypt and they saw God's miracles, they saw him part the mighty Red Sea. And, you know, there are even people who claim to be Bible scholars, but they don't have any faith. And they try to explain a God of wonders and a God of miracles without faith, and it's virtually impossible. So they try to explain away his miracles instead. A little boy was listening to his teacher say, "You know, I believe parts of the Bible, but I don't believe in the supernatural, miraculous parts of it." And she began to explain where she had read that the Red Sea was somehow certain winds had come from certain directions with such force that it backed up the waters, and where the several million to over 2 million people crossed onto the dry land was only in knee-deep water. And a little boy raised his hand and he said, "Then it's even a greater miracle than when we first heard the story, because he drowned Pharaoh's army, horses and chariots and all in knee-deep water." You see, you just can't explain away the miracles. No, my friend, he parted the Red Sea. Someone said, "Well, you know, a man can't live 3 days in a whale or great white shark's belly. He just can't do it. There's issues of oxygen and acids in the stomach." And wait. It said God prepared a fish. It didn't say a fish happened to swallow a man and a man survived 3 days. It said God prepared a fish. You see, this is the power of our God. It is unlimited. We can't fathom a God who speaks a universe into existence. But if we believe what the Scriptures declare, amen, that God said, let there be a firmament, and there was a firmament. Praise God. I said one time, I do believe in the Big Bang theory, but I don't believe in that random something from nothing theory. I believe that God said, let there be a firmament, and bang, there was a firmament, because God is big enough to do that. He can't be the God of the Bible if you rob Him of this mighty power and this miraculous, supernatural, wonder-working power. Praise God. Well, here in Jeremiah, God declares His omnipotence, His omniscience. He declares that He is all-powerful, almighty, His omnipresence. He's with us everywhere. He inhabits the universe. He inhabits eternity. He inhabits all. There's not a corner of the endless, infinite universe that God doesn't exist. And there's not a bit of doubt that He created everything that we see in the heavens and here upon the earth. He can't be God if He can't do and be those things. So He declares, number one, His omnipotence. I am the Lord, His sovereign authority, the God of all flesh, and His unlimited ability. Is there anything too hard for me? Let's start with His omnipotence. I am the Lord. Lord in the Hebrew is Jehovah. Jehovah, we pronounce it. The Hebrew word for Yahweh is simply understood as God's revealed personal name, Yahweh or Jehovah. And it in its simplistic meaning, it simply means to be. I like what W.A. Criswell commented about this statement and this word. He said, God exists in a way that no one or anything else does. His supreme nature is implied by His ever-present existence, without beginning or ending. He is the only God who exists, and all other existence is dependent upon His uncaused existence. Praise God. Amen. That's why it said in Exodus 3 and verse 14, and God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And He said, thus thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent thee. God is self-existent, and therefore He is all-powerful. I heard the humorous, and I understand it was a true story, that two men were fishing 2 or 3 miles from a dangerous waterfall on a river, and they got on the subject of God. One man said to his friend, do you believe in God? No, said the other man. All of a sudden, they looked up and found they were about 50 foot from the fall. They grabbed the paddles, pulled for dear life for shore, and finally reached safety. The man who said he didn't believe in God said, thank God we made it. His friend asked, I thought you said you didn't believe in God. Listen, he said, this business of no God is all right to go fishing with, but not to go over the falls with. Listen, friend, one of these days, we're going to draw our last breath. We're going to go over the falls, and we can paddle all we want against it. But one day, it's going to happen. I took vitamins this morning. I plan to take a walk this afternoon for my health. I want to live and serve God in this world, in this body, as long as my health permits it. But a day will come when the vitamins won't change it. The walk won't change it. The lifting of weights won't change it. A day day will come when I'm going to draw my last breath, and I have a promise that the end will not come. That will be the beginning for me. Praise God, of a brand new life in a spiritual body to contain my soul until my physical body is resurrected from the ground. And you said, Brother Venable, how is all that going to be? See, that's in God's department. This God that I serve is able, the scripture said, to subdue everything unto himself. You see, God not only exists, he's self-existent. Therefore, he is Lord of all. He has no peers and he has no rivals. Praise God, because he has no equal. So the first step of faith is not to believe that God will answer, but rather that he is in this kind of self-existent manifestation. Praise God. Listen to Hebrews 11 and verse 6 in the New Covenant. It said, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to him must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. That he is, not only that he exists, but that he exists in this particular, peculiar way. God is a man, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. It starts with faith in God's existence as the true and the living God. Thomas Edison said, and I quote, no man can study chemistry and see the way in which certain elements combine with the nicety of the most delicate machine ever invented, and not come to the inevitable conclusion that there is a big engineer running the universe. Hallelujah. Praise God. Christian, your God runs the universe. He made it and he maintains it. Praise God. Your God is today. And not only does he exist that way, but he is a rewarder. He responds to us when we come to him believing that he is. Not just that he will answer, but that he's big enough and he's mighty enough and he knows enough and he's powerful enough, and that there's nothing impossible with him. The New Testament said the things that are impossible with men are possible with God. And with God, nothing shall be impossible. Praise the Lord. Amen. The dare is out there. The double dog dare is here in the Bible. I dare you today to trust in him. No matter what your circumstance, no matter what the situation, I double dog dare you. You've all seen the Christmas story. You can't turn down the double dog dare. Can you? Would you? Why would you? This is not a dare that's going to get you in trouble. This is a dare that's going to get you out of trouble. And some of the worst trouble you could ever imagine is leaving this world, going over the falls without Christ and without God. Friend of mine, I want you to know today that God is calling somebody that I'm speaking to. I'm convinced of that because I know that he loves you. And I know that he sent us to tell you how much that he loves you. Praise God. And I know this God that I serve is a God of mercy. And he's a God of love. And he's a God of great grace. Hallelujah. He has the power to change what you can't change. To do what we can't do. Hallelujah. That's why when we pray in faith believing, he said you can expect things to happen. You can expect a response if you believe God is, like we have just talked about, and you believe that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Then you can continue reading in the book of Hebrews and you can see people receiving answers. Sometimes the answer was in a miraculous deliverance. Other times the answer came in a special grace to go through the trial. But either way, God did something supernatural and answered those who called upon him, because he is the Lord, the undisputed, unequaled God of heaven and earth. Praise God. And not only is he the Lord, but he declares he's the God of all flesh. God is declaring his sovereign authority. God here is the ancient Hebrew word Elohim, and it means exceeding great, mighty God. I'm going to say that again. Elohim means exceeding great and mighty God, and it denotes creative and governing power. In the story of creation, in Genesis 1, chapter 1, verse 2 and 4, it says the word Elohim is used, and that 35 times in this first chapter. It is Elohim who by his mighty power creates this vast universe. Rather, Genesis chapter 1, verses 1, 2, and 4, chapters 1, 2, all throughout that creative story in Genesis. Amen. God is the mighty creator of heaven and earth, bringing cosmos out of chaos, light out of darkness, substance out of nothing, habitation out of desolation, and life in his image. Hallelujah. Praise God. I want to go back from the book of beginnings, Genesis, to the chapter of faith, all about faith in Hebrews 11 and verse 3. And listen to this. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed or formed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Praise God. God's power is released through the authority of his sovereign word, and that power is absolutely awesome to behold. Psalm 33, verse 6 through 9 says, "By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the hosts of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathered the waters of the sea," in verse 7. "He gathered the waters of the sea together as an heap. He layeth up the depth in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast." Our God rules with absolute, infinite power and authority. He is, and he is the God of all flesh. His promises are supported and backed up by his awesome power and authority. And then he says, "There's nothing too hard for me." God declares his unlimited ability. There's nothing beyond his power and ability. Jeremiah 32:17, once again, "Ah, Lord God, thou hast made heaven and earth by thine outstretched arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee." God poses the question, "Is there anything too hard for me?" And then that question is answered, "There's nothing too hard for thee." In order to take God at his word in spite of circumstances, we must acknowledge that our God is a miracle-working God. He's supernatural. He is, and he is all-powerful. Nothing is too hard, because nothing is not subject to him. He brings water from the flinty rock. He rains manna from heaven. He shuts the mouth of the lion for Daniel. He parts the Red Sea for the children of Israel. He causes an axe head to swim because it was borrowed and would bring into bondage to the lender. He heals the hopeless leper. He supernaturally sustains the cruse of oil. He multiplies the fish and loaves and feeds thousands. He turns water into the sweetest wine. He raises Jairus' daughter from the dead. He delivers Israel from Egypt's bondage. He sustains three Hebrew children in the midst of flames. He blesses Sarah and Abraham with the promised son when Abraham is 100 and Sarah is 90. He causes the earth to stop rotating so the sun stuns. He causes the earth to stop rotating so the sun stands still, seemingly, and by his power holds everything in its course without the laws of physics, gravity, science, or reason. Hallelujah. He restores life to the widow's son. He saves the human soul. He delivers those who trust in him because he is almighty. He is the creator. He has all power, and nothing is too hard for him. You know, for years I didn't become a Christian because I didn't feel I could live the Christian life, and I didn't want to be a hypocrite like I had seen so many of. I didn't want to play the role without it being real. The God I serve has to be real, and the life I live has to be real. And I didn't want a panacea called religion to take the place of a relationship. I didn't want a mere ritual that didn't have substance in my heart and my life. I wanted to be able to look at those falls that are coming somewhere down the river of life. There is a fall called death, and we're going to pass into another dimension. And there's only two places to go, friend, and I want to go to heaven. And I believe there's a God able to seal me for that event and take me there. And I know this God because I've received his Son as my Savior, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. But I didn't come for years because I thought, and I got saved young, but there were years that were lost. Listen, friend, there is a scripture in John's Gospel, chapter 1. And it says, as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. God can do something for you and in you through Christ by his Spirit, through the finished work of Jesus on the cross that you can't do for yourself. And he asked you to come as you are. I love that great song, "Just As I Am," without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bids me come to thee. O Lamb of God, I come. You may feel like you're hopelessly addicted to crack cocaine or drugs of some sort, or alcohol. It doesn't matter. Sexual addiction. It doesn't matter. God said, I want you to come. I want you to bring your hang-ups, bring your sins. I want you to lay them down at the foot of the cross. This God I'm talking about says, I can handle that. I can change you from the inside out. If you will receive Christ as your Savior, the Bible said he will give you the power. This is not that word dunamis, when the power of the Spirit comes on you. This is what allows for that power to come. This word means simply, I give you authority to become my bona fide, legitimate children. Praise God. And it opens the door for the other word for power in the Greek, the dunamis of God, the miracle working ability. God's power to change us comes within us. And the dare today, the double dog dare, is to come to Christ with your hang-ups, your habits, and say, Jesus, I'm sorry for my sin. I can't change myself, but I don't want to go down this road to destruction any further, and I do not want to go over the falls without you. Come into my heart. Change me from the inside out. In the name of Jesus, today I receive you as my Savior, and now God is my Father, and he will work a work in my life by his Spirit, changing me from the inside out. Christian, today? Are you facing a mountain of impossibility? If you are, I want you to take another look at the God who says, call upon me in the time of trouble, I will deliver you, and you will glorify me. Oh, we love you today. Come back next week, and let's talk about Jesus.
To the Lord of hosts, come praise Him.